Well, today is the last Sunday of 2015, and we're gathered here together to hear the voice of the Lord and what God is saying to us, and to thank Him for a good year. 2015 may have had its difficulties, but we're not going to look at the difficulties. We're going to look at how great our God is. Amen? Let's give Him a shout of praise this morning. God is great and greatly to be praised. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today, for this time that we gather together. Lord, open up our spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today. Thank you for speaking to every man, woman, and child in this place. Thank you for the power of your presence today, for we've come together to sit before your throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we've come together to build a spiritual habitation for the presence of the Lord to dwell in. And we do that together. Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad you're here. A couple of Sundays ago, I shared about joy stoppers and compared them to like opening a door and your door hits the doorstop and it just stops. Three door stoppers, the lack of contentment. The second one, interpersonal conflict in relationships. And the third one, unconfessed sin. Those will stop your joy. But today, we're going to talk about joy builders. How to build joy in our life according to God's pattern. Billy Sunday once said, "The trouble with many men is that they have got just enough religion to make them miserable. If there is not joy in religion, you've got a leak in your religion." So we pray today that God repairs any leaks today, because we want to be containers of joy, because joy is contagious. Everyone wants to be around a person that's joyful, and they pretty much avoid people that are negative and complaining all the time. Is that right? So God wants to fill us up with His joy. He wants us to experience joy. In Psalm 16:11, the scripture says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and in thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So we're going to take a look at six joy builders for our life today. And so the first one is to recognize that God is joyful. In His presence is fullness of joy. And this helps us when we see God as joyful rather than a taskmaster. Many of us were raised in a religion that we thought God was ready to strike us down at any minute. Like this big fly swatter is going to come out of the sky and just smush you like a bug. But God looks at us with joy. He delights in us. In Zephaniah 3:17, the scripture says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take delight in you. He will quiet you with His love, and He will rejoice over you with singing." So God delights in you, and He breaks out into a song when He thinks about you. Sometimes that's kind of hard to believe. But that is who God is. God is joy. And in His presence, there's fullness of joy. God is not sitting up in the heavens complaining. He's not complaining about you. He is happy about you. And He's singing over you. And sometimes His song gets so loud in the midst of trouble. In the midst of, you know you're sinning and you're not doing what you should do. But God's voice, it becomes so loud to you that God begins to turn you back to Him. Have you ever experienced that? Come on. Come on. If we know God, we're going to have joy. If we have little joy in our life, then that is a sure sign that we need to know God. We can know about God, but do you know God personally? Do you spend time with Him? Do you get in His Word? Do you pray? Do you meditate? Those are all spiritual disciplines that help us grow in knowing who God is. So we recognize today that God is joyful. And we adjust our thinking that He takes pleasure in us. He delights over us. He sings a happy song over us. And His joy is transmitted to us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. And Nehemiah got that revelation in Nehemiah 18 when he said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." So let's go on. Number two for a joy builder is rehearse God's attributes in worship. So God takes great delight when we come together and we celebrate who He is. That's what we've been doing this morning, celebrating who God is, singing for joy to the God of our salvation. Psalm 66, verses 1 through 4 says, "Shout with joy to God, all the earth." Can we just give Him a shout of joy this morning? That sounds really good. God's smiling about that. Shout with joy to God. Sing the glory of His name and make His praise glorious. Say to God, "How awesome are Your deeds. So great is Your power that Your enemies cringe before You. All the earth bows down to You. They sing praise to You. They sing praise to Your name." So when we come together on Sunday, our collective worship is a culmination of what we have done individually during the week to worship God. Each one of us should come in prepared to worship the Lord. We bring in with us what we've been doing during the week. Come on. And as we bring that in together, we prepare the habitation for the Lord to dwell in. It takes each one of us connecting with one another to release the joy of the Lord. David said in Psalm 28, verse 7, he said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to Him in song." Our praise and worship team, we sing songs that are God-focused, songs that will pull you into the presence of the Lord, that cause you to be God-conscious. And so as we come together, the joy of the Lord is released through each one of us as we worship Him. We've come to praise Him. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Come on. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I've got a lot to thank God for this week. My God is good to me. He's good to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's go on to number three. Our first one is recognize God's joyful. Our second one is we rehearse God's attributes in worship. And our third one is reaffirm your commitment to others. The first two joy builders are vertical. They're God's view of us and how we view God. But we are challenged in Romans 12:15 to rejoice with those who rejoice. Which tells me that there should be some rejoicing going on when God's people get together. Amen? That shouldn't be so strange that you clap your hands and you shout hallelujah and you might yell amen and you might jump up and spin around. To me, that's not strange at all. That's how we grew up Pentecost and people, you know, they got excited about their salvation. And when you get around someone else that's filled with the Holy Ghost, you get excited. It makes me think of when Mary was carrying Jesus and she went to visit her Aunt Elizabeth and John the Baptist leaped on the inside of her belly because he got excited because Jesus was right there. All right. Jesus is on the inside of that person sitting next to you. That's right. Isn't he on the inside of us? If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, Jesus is on the inside of you. You shouldn't, like some of you are looking at me like, you really should be a little happier about that. Tell somebody, I'm glad Jesus is on the inside of you. You see, our spirit leaps for joy. We get excited to be with the people of God. Paul said this in Philippians 1, verses 25 through 26. He said, convinced of this, I know that I will remain, because he was struggling with, should I go home to be with the Lord? Should I stay with these people? And he said, he's convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Paul knew that when he was in the presence of the church, that there was joy that was released because he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was filled with joy on account of the people, because they needed him to hang around to be strengthened by him. He was convinced that he would stay a while. Do you get the picture? We bring in the joy of the Lord, and our joy overflows as we connect with each other. It's important to gather together in the house of the Lord because you help someone else increase their joy. If you stay home, you're holding back your gift from other people. And we miss something when people aren't here. You begin to look around because you know their presence brings in the presence of the Lord. We bring gifts into the house. And so we bless one another. I encourage you this year. We're going to be starting a fresh year. Get involved with our women's ministry, Deborah Troop, second Saturday of every month. Get involved with our Caleb Company, our men's group. They meet the fourth Saturday of every month in the evening. Us ladies meet in the morning on the second Saturday. Get involved in a Wednesday night life group. Come on out on Wednesday night. Tuesday night, we have School of Ministry classes. You can get into a good Bible study group. You like to go deep in the Word, that's what we do on Tuesday night. I encourage you, connect. It's really all about connecting. We cannot isolate ourselves and grow in Christ. That's not how God designed it. God designed us to come together as a family and to know each other and to encourage each other. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So God will use each one of you to raise the joy level in this house. Joy is very attractive. People cannot resist joy. So God will use each one of us to raise the level of joy in this place as we connect with one another. Number four, joy builder. It's reignite your passion for evangelism. Philemon chapter 1 verse 6 says, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. One of the best ways to build joy in your life is to talk to other people about Jesus. It's to share Jesus. That's one of the greatest ways to build joy in your life, because Jesus is joy. He is the source of joy. Luke 15, 5 through 7 says this, and when he finds it, he's talking about the lost sheep finding it. He says, when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. You want to spread some joy to heaven? Then lead someone to Jesus. All of heaven rejoices when one sinner comes home. John 4:36 says this, that as we participate in that process of evangelism, it says this, even now the reaper draws his wages, even now he harvests for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. It takes all of us working together in the harvest to bring it in. Some sow and some reap. But everyone's glad about it, and heaven rejoices when one person gives their heart to the Lord. When one person repents and receives Jesus Christ, they are pulled out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So we appreciate God's gift in our own lives, and we rejoice about that. But there isn't anything like the joy you experience when you see another person's life changed by Jesus. Is that true? Have you experienced that? It's an amazing experience when people give their life to the Lord. Great joy comes over them and great joy over you, because you share in the overflow. Amen? Number five, another joy builder, is release your problems to the Lord. Happiness is conditioned upon what is happening to me. We define happiness as the absence of something undesirable, such as pain or suffering or disappointment. And if people treat me good and things are going well in my life, then I'm happy. But if circumstances aren't favorable for me, then I'm unhappy. But we are not talking about happiness, because joy, on the other hand, is a compelling quality of life that transcends the events and the disasters which may occur in our life. Joy is supernatural. Joy is given to us by the Holy Spirit, and it's a fruit that grows in our life. Galatians 5 tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is joy. So the joy of the Lord can be experienced even in the midst of the worst situations. Our joy is the proper response to the presence of something very desirable, and that is the presence of God. When we're walking through difficult times, when we're walking through something like a grief, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship, of a friend, we are very sad. But it's at those times that we cry out and say, God, I need your presence. God, come and comfort me. You see, there's a peace that joy will bring into our heart. It doesn't mean that you're jumping up and down and you're all excited and acting weird. Because people will go, you know, your friend just died and you're just acting a little strange here. But it means that we can have a peace and a joy within our heart because the presence of the Lord is with us. And if our friend is saved, we know our friend is in a better place. They're not even thinking about you. If they're with Jesus, they're not even thinking about you. Hallelujah. So many people that experience heaven, they never want to come back. You know, if you hear accounts of people that have gone to heaven, that they don't want to come back. Well, a lot of times God makes them. No, your time isn't done. You must go back to earth. And it's like, God, don't send me back there. We want to stay in the righteousness, peace, and joy. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's hard for us to imagine that when we live in this world, isn't it? Paul and Silas demonstrated this joy that I'm talking about in Acts 16. And they had been put into prison, and they had been fastened into stocks down in the innermost part of the prison. And the scripture says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So they turned this tragedy, this suffering, into an opportunity to rejoice. And when the scripture says they were praying, that's not the word. The Greek word is not the same as the word praying for I'm making a request to God. The word praying in this situation relates to praise and worship. Paul and Silas chose to praise and worship God even though they were accused and they were abused and they were humiliated and they were put into the inner prison. They still chose to worship God. And in the midst of that, the presence of God filled that prison. The very joy of the Lord came into that place because the joy of the Lord will release the captive. And that's exactly what happened. The captives were all set free. Everyone that was in the prison with them, the chains fell off of them. They were broken. And Paul and Silas were free. Think about that. Because they chose to worship God instead of sit there and complain about their circumstance. And if anyone had a right to complain, they did. When you study the prisons of that time, they definitely had a right to be complaining because I'm sure they were absolutely miserable physically. But their spirit was soaring because they knew how to get to the place of worship before God. They knew how to get to His presence and how to come into that place. When I was studying this, I was reminded of a little story that Matthew Henry wrote. Matthew Henry is a Bible scholar from the 1700s, and he wrote this after some thieves had robbed him and taken his wallet. He said this in his diary. He said, "Let me first be thankful because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it wasn't much." Yeah, some of us would say the same thing. And fourth, because, he said, it was I who was robbed, not I who did the robbing. What a way to look at a difficult situation. But Matthew Henry had the attitude that he would release his problem to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:4 says, "In all my troubles, my joy knows no bounds." Think of that. The Apostle Paul said that. He was in trouble more than anyone, persecuted more than anyone, any of the apostles that we know or read about. And he said his joy knew no bounds because his joy was not bound by what was happening to him. His joy was based upon knowing God and knowing how to come into God's presence regardless of what was going on. James 1:2 challenges us to consider it pure joy. Pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. So when you're going through a lot of trials, you could tell your friend, "I've got pure joy." Or maybe I'm praying for pure joy. "Lord, give me some pure joy." But releasing our problems to the Lord. And one of the best ways to to change your attitude and your heart is to worship Him. It's to praise Him. Put on some praise music. It changes the atmosphere. 6 is remain close to Jesus, and this is my last one. Instead of looking for joy, look for the one who is joy. As we established a couple weeks ago, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and it comes from being obedient to Christ and submitting to His Holy Spirit. John 15:10 through 11 says this, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." I want to read that again. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. If we want the kind of joy that is complete and lacking nothing, then we must remain close to Jesus. Apart from Him, we cannot bear any fruit. Jesus clearly said it in John 15:4. "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So for a personal application of the teaching this week and last 2 weeks ago, I encourage you to guard yourself against the joy stopper. Must be why the scripture says godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul said, "In whatever situation I find myself, I've learned to be content." So guard yourself against the joy stoppers. Number 2, identify one joy builder that you need to work on. And I shared 6. I'm sure there's more. Dr. Sandy Burkett was my roommate in college, and she did her dissertation research on joy. So we talked a lot about joy. And by the way, she'll be here in February. Yay! She'll be with us. So identify a joy builder that you might need to work on. Recognize God is joyful, rehearsing God's attributes in worship, reaffirming your commitment to others, reigniting your passion for evangelism, releasing your problems to the Lord, and remaining close to Jesus. There are 6 ideas there. And the third thing I encourage you to do as we're closing out this week, this is our last week, read through the book of Philippians every day for a week. The word joy or rejoice is used 19 different times in this short book. And as you read it, ask God to ripen the fruit of joy in your life. At this time, I'd like to ask praise team to come on up and get ready. And in closing, I want to read over you Romans 14:17. "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." It's our prayer to establish the kingdom of God in the earth, which means righteousness, peace, and joy will be in our lives and will overflow. The kingdom of God is not about meat and drink. And we all probably had too much meat and drink this week. Yes. think it was Nehemiah, eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions to those who are weak, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Probably had a little too much fat and a little too much sweet. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word today. Lord, help us to apply it to our life, to cause it to be active in our life. Lord, that we won't be just hearers of the word, but God, we will be doers of the word. And God, I thank you for River of Life, for our family and our friends that are gathered here today. God, I pray for an increase of joy in their lives today. Lord, as they release their problems to you, as you realign their thinking, as you teach each one of us how to come closer to your presence, and Lord, as you give us a deeper understanding of who you are and what you are doing in each one of our lives, let our joy overflow, God, as we connect and as we declare how great you are. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said, amen, amen. As the last song that we'll be singing on a Sunday in 2015, I wanted us to stand up and sing, How Great is Our God. Just let those words ring out from your mouth as you sing for joy unto the Lord.